Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 25th day of August, 2023. I have another update for you for my brother Andy. As those of you who listen to the show every day may recall, the last several days on the program, I have been announcing prayer requests for my brother Andy, who is 75 and living in a local nursing home here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, after a massive stroke a number of years ago left him completely paralyzed on his left side. And recently he had developed pneumonia, and he also, more seriously, developed a life-threatening blood infection known as sepsis. Andy has been on intravenous antibiotics. They appear to be holding the sepsis at bay. I am still waiting for an update from his doctor, who has not yet called me back, which is quite infuriating. I have called several times asking for a conversation with him, and I never receive a call back, which I would appreciate you praying for that as well. But when I visit him, his appetite seems to be very good, sometimes even voracious, and I've been bringing him food that he likes to eat because he hates the food at the nursing home. I want to make sure he eats and gets the appropriate nutrients that are going to help him get healthier. And so I just ask of you to continue to pray that that the Lord guides the physicians in everything they do, the nurses, etc., and even more importantly, that that our Lord makes my brother's salvation testimony crystal clear. I have not reached a point where I have a settled peace over the authenticity of my brother's profession of faith in Christ, and we appreciate you praying for that more than anything. And of course, in addition to guiding the doctors, I would pray that if the Lord chooses not to use physicians, but a divine miracle, that would happen as well. I just want to make sure, God willing, that my brother sticks around a number of more years so I can not only enjoy seeing him and spending time with him, but also that I can continue to evangelize him and pray for him so that I am completely confident before he departs this earth that he has placed truly his entire trust for salvation in the finished work of Christ. So please join me in that prayer. We have a first-time guest today. His name is Jim Mogul, and he's a board member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. Those of you who listen regularly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will recognize the name of that ministry because we've been advertising it pretty heavily lately. The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society is hosting a three-day special event, a conference, in Manheim, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And this is featuring the keynote speaker, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a very dear friend of mine dating back to 1995. And not only is this a conference, but on Saturday, September 16th, from 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., the conference includes a debate that Dr. White is having with Dr. Gregory Coles on the theme, Is Gay Christian a Biblically Acceptable Identity for a Member of Christ's Church? The entire conference is Friday, the 15th of September through Sunday, the 17th of September. And if you would like to register for this event, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. I hope as many of you as possible will attend, and I'll be able to meet and greet all of you who listen to this program who are able to make it to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania for this exciting three-day event, September 15th through the 17th. But today, I'm going to be addressing a subject that I don't believe I've ever addressed before on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, especially for a full program. Our guest today, Jim Mogul, is going to discuss food freedom and agriculture from a biblical perspective. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Jim Mogul.
Thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and thanks for that good plug for our conference coming up. We're pretty happy with the way that's shaping up. Glad to have Dr. White coming, and for some of our regulars, we do this conference annually, and we have some of our favorites are coming back, Matt Truella and Paul Michael Raymond, and just a great lineup of speakers. There's going to be 12 rapid-fire presentations on Saturday, followed by the debate. So it's going to be a good time. I encourage anyone who can make it to come on out.
Great. And I am very excited about it as well, and I'm honored to be serving as the moderator of the debate. And typically people recognize me from emceeing Dr. White's debates and doing a little stand-up comedy routine, but I'm not going to be emceeing this time. I'm going to be doing something that I very rarely do, actually, and that's moderating the debate. I have done moderation for debates, but that is not the typical thing I do. I usually prefer sitting in the audience and just watching, but this time I will be moderating. So pray for me as well, as I have a very important role in this event. Although, if the role is performed accurately, and if the debaters behave themselves and perform accurately, you'll hear very little from me at all other than to say, your time's up. But that's when you know a debate is going well, when the moderator doesn't need to do much more than announce the segments of the debate and tell people when they're to start speaking on each segment of the debate, and then tell them that the time is up. And Dr. White,
how does that work out, Chris? Is that pretty difficult to do?
Typically not. In most of the debates that I have orchestrated, the debaters both were behaving themselves and keeping to their time limits. In fact, James, who has a computer for a brain, he always finishes his segments exactly on time, if not a few seconds early. So I've never seen him had to be reprimanded for going over time or anything like that. The worst debate as far as keeping to the rules that I ever moderated was a debate between Frank Turek, who is an apologist, and an atheist whose name escapes me right now. It was held at Stony Brook University on Long Island, and neither of the debaters were following the time allotments and restrictions and rules, and it eventually became a free-for-all, and it eventually became obvious that there was no point in me even really sitting where I was, because even though I tried to rein in the atheist at one point, Frank Turek said, no, I prefer it this way. Let's just keep doing it this way. And there was not much I could do. They wanted it to be more of a heated discussion or argument than an actual rigidly timed debate. So, but anyway, that's just to say Most of the time, that doesn't happen. So, and I'm confident that that will not happen this time either. So, I hope that most of you listening, or many of you listening, will be able to attend September 15th through the 17th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and register at futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Well, tell us something, first of all, about what your role is at Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society as a board member.
Well, we have regular meetings, obviously, as a board. A lot of our work now is setting up these conferences. We've, in the past 6 months, made a decision to focus more on the conference ministry. And so that's working through the details of that as a job. In the past, I've done a lot of writing for the group. I've not done as much of that recently, but I do some writing, and pretty much handling the nuts and the bolts of getting these things put together. I've been on the board since we founded the group back, I guess about 10 years ago.
By the way, I just wanted to let our listeners know that Ted in Moundsville, Alabama, reminded me who the atheist was at that debate. Michael Shermer was the atheist who debated Frank Turek, and I was the moderator. Thanks, Ted, for reminding me. Tell us more specifically about the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society itself.
Well, we started about 10 years ago, and our purpose was to address things that are sadly neglected by the church, things along the area of engaging the culture, trying to get a hold on some of the political things that are going on, and that sort of thing, things that the church shies away from. And our thought was that pastors were either afraid or it was distasteful to them to handle that sort of thing. So our initial idea was to offer help to come alongside pastors and handle some of those things, whether it's through meetings or information or whatever they might need to better address those sorts of things. And we learned the hard way through a lot of effort and work that unfortunately most pastors pretty much just don't want that. They would rather ignore those things, and when we look around today, we see the result of it. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're finished with that, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, and that would include the kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And so we'd love to hear a summary of your story.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. I grew up in a great family. I had great parents. I was the youngest of four. I had two brothers and a sister. We grew up in a pretty rural area. It was an old-fashioned family neighborhood. I grew up about a mile from the house my mother was born in, and about 2 miles from the house my father was born in. So that's the kind of area and neighborhood it was, a farming community. We had a family prayer at every meal. We went to church every Sunday. Our church was, historically, our church was a German Reformed church. But when I was very young, it joined the United Church of Christ denomination, I think in the late 50s. I believe that denomination was formed in the mid to late 50s. And
now, how left-wing was it back then?
Well, it wasn't very left-wing at all. I mean, by today's standards, it would look far right. I would say most we were Pennsylvania Dutch in this area. most Pennsylvania Dutch people were tended to be Democrats. My family were Democrats, but not at all leftist as we would see it today.
Would the driving force of the Democrat background have something to do with a more pacifist approach to things?
No, I would say not. I would say not. There were no qualms. If you're speaking about pacifism in a military sense, definitely not.
Hmm.
There would have been no reservations whatsoever to military service or anything like that. It was a completely different world. I mean, it would be unrecognizable today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and today, even those that are to the left of us, there are many war hawks amongst those on the left. And today, those who are in the forefront of politics are no longer really liberal. They are leftists, and there is a difference.
There is a difference. Yeah, the liberals have gone by the wayside. I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a liberal. He's a liberal Democrat, but most of what we have today in the Democrat Party, I pretty much just consider communists. But at any rate, that's what the environment was. Now, theologically, the church was. Not a Bible church at that point. I grew up believing what most of the people I think in the church believed, and that was that if my good works outweighed my bad works, we had a great Savior Christ who would save us on that basis, which was obviously
a false gospel.
Obviously erroneous, but I think that's pretty much the predominant view. Even still today, that's the predominant view of many people who fall under the broad category we call Christian. So historically, it was a German Reformed church. I knew very little of Reformed doctrine.
So in other words, when you say German Reformed church, it's going by the name that would have been connected with its ancestry, but not the way that they were currently teaching and preaching.
Pretty much so. It was a somewhat liturgical church. So you had the Apostles' Creed, you had the gospel. The gospel was there. It was there in the creeds. It was there in the liturgy. It was there in a very small extent in the everyday teaching of the church, but not very predominantly.
Well, continue, please.
Well, in the early 70s, it was about 1973, our church sponsored what was called a lay witness mission. I believe probably some of the listeners have heard of that. It was an arrangement where people from another church would come for I believe it was a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday, with some very informal meetings and just talk about these were saved people, and they would talk about their relationship with Christ, how they came to know Christ, and what it meant to them. Basically, giving their testimony in various forms throughout the weekend. It's interesting that happened because it actually on an organizational level, it turned out to be harmful for the church because a good number of people got saved and eventually left the church. The people who came to our church were from a Presbyterian church, and I believe the whole concept of the lay witness mission came from somewhere in Methodism in the 1950s. So basically through that, I came to understand that there's more to there's more to being a Christian than just relying on your good work to get to heaven. I could see that there was an element of a big element of sin that characterized me as a human being, and that there was a need for Christ's work in order to save my soul. And that very weekend, I made a profession of faith in Christ, along with my mother and father, all the same day.
Wow.
It was a rather remarkable thing. My sister was present, and it led to her coming to Christ sometime after that.
You know, we're gonna pick up your testimony when we return from our first commercial break, and I hope that we hear how you eventually came to discover and understand and fall in love with and embrace the true doctrines of Reformed theology, as opposed to what was called the German Reformed denomination. If anybody would like to submit a question to Jim Mogul, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jim Mogul after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComm Group.com. That's SecureComm Group.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit RoyalDiadem.com. That's RoyalDiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget that RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a mind-blowing opportunity. Anyone who purchases jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com, valued at $100 or more, will ensure that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio gets 100% of the profits from that sale simply by your mentioning Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you make your purchase. Whether you are purchasing something they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you are having a piece of jewelry customized, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, denomination logo, or seminary logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing physical piece of jewelry. And you are assured that your customized piece of jewelry is going to come out exactly the way you want it, because no matter where in the world you live, through the miracle of the internet, you are going to be participating in every step of the creation process. You are able to, at any phase of the creation and customization, to make changes and say, wait a minute, you know, I like this, but I hate that. Can you make this bigger and this smaller? Can you put this design over here? Can you make this stone a different color? And we could go on and on and on. And then when you have finally approved every aspect of the visual process of the customization of your jewelry, they will mail you a three-dimensional physical wax prototype that you will have in your hand and be able to turn at any angle to really get an idea of what this piece of jewelry is going to look like, the actual size of the piece of jewelry. And then when you approve of that, they make the cast and turn it into your final product. So if you have any desire to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com soon and make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com, and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio, so 100% of the profits from your purchase of jewelry goes directly to us. We're now back with our guest today, Jim Mogul, who is a board member for the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. We are discussing food freedom, agriculture, from a biblical perspective. But before we enter into that topic, we are still in the midst of hearing Jim's salvation testimony. And if you could pick up where you left off and eventually get to the point where you came to discover, understand, fall in love with, embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, also known as Reformed theology.
Yeah, sure. I'd like to back up just a little bit.
Sure.
Into the background of the Reformed Church that I grew up in, just because I think it's interesting. I've often wondered exactly how and when the church went from a biblical Reformed church into what it eventually became, and even worse, into what it is today. So it certainly had a lot to do with the German higher critics of the late 18th century casting doubt on the authority of Scripture, the accuracy of Scripture, and all sorts of apostasy there. But historically, I often wonder how far back do you have to go and to see the different conditions of the church. I've never been able to really figure that out. I guess it's written in history somewhere, but I haven't found it. I do know that my grandmother, who was born in the 1880s, wrote some very godly poems, and I actually have them handwritten in my possession. And from reading those poems, I have very little doubt that she was definitely a Christian. My parents, who were born in the 20s and the 30s, when they got saved, used to say, "How come nobody ever told us about this?" So that kind of gives a more recent time frame of what happened. But anyway, moving on from that, once I was saved, at about the age of 17 or 18. I really fell in love with doctrine and theology and started reading a lot. This was now in the 70s, so I was going to the Christian bookstore and buying books. This was back when Christian bookstores actually had books. Whatever I could get my hands on, I was very interested, and it didn't take too long until I started seeing what was going on in the church. This was at a time when liberation theology was really gaining a foothold, mm-hmm. and I saw those things happening, and And of course, being a 17 or 18 year old guy, I figured that all I had to do was alert people, and everybody would say, "Oh yeah, this is awful. Let's fix this." So obviously that didn't happen. So the church was probably more than half of the congregation were relatives of mine. My mother's side of the family and my father's side of the family went back in that congregation for generations. So I was butting heads with friends and relatives. And that's always, I've heard this dilemma from many, many people who have a similar experience of being saved while they're active in a church like that. And it's always a dilemma. Do I stay and try to fix it? Or do I move on? And I stayed, I guess, for about a year or two, and then moved on, I guess, for two reasons. One, I just felt that I needed closer fellowship with like-minded Christians, and two, I could see that I was not real severely damaging, but I was damaging relationships with people who were either my family or my friends. And decades later, looking back on that, I'm glad I left for both of those reasons. Those people who I knew back then and was sort of butting heads with, those relationships came back, and I still have good relationships with those people. So for different reasons, it's a good thing I left. I left and went into a dispensational church with a brethren background, and stayed within dispensational premillennialism for decades. During that time, maybe about halfway through that, I through my reading, I became thoroughly convinced of the doctrines of grace, and became a Calvinist, which wasn't too much of a problem in the various churches that I was in. It wasn't a horrible hot button for most people. Here and there, it was a hot button for some people, but that didn't cause me a lot of trouble. Over time, again through reading and studying, when I was probably in my late 20s or my early 30s, I took some seminary courses, evening school seminary courses, that learned some more doctrine there, and eventually, I really began to question. I was actually teaching dispensationalism in an adult Sunday school class in the church I was in. It was a Baptist church. And it was a little bit difficult because I had to make the excuses for some of the things that are held in dispensationalism and premillennialism that are very difficult to defend. So eventually I started looking into those things and really trying to set aside my biases and going to the scripture and looking, what does the scripture actually say about this? So, long story short, eventually, I rejected, dispensationalism, and now I pretty much call myself a postmillennialist. I believe that postmillennialism best describes the work of Christ and His church throughout history and into the future. The Great Commission and everything are fit very well with the postmillennial viewpoint, much more so than the others, I believe.
So I guess you made the change to postmillennialist so you'd have a much larger group of friends. I'm only kidding.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I actually, Actually, I have a lot of very good post-millennial friends, some of whom follow a very similar path to me. I mean, to the path that I took. I'm really amazed how many post-millennialists I know who were not that long ago dispensationalists. And I don't, to be honest, I don't, maybe I wouldn't call myself a hardline post-millennialist. It seems to me that there are so many things that are not clearly spelled out in Scripture. So as I said, I believe post-millennialism is the best model, and I do call myself a post-millennialist, but it's not something I love to discuss it. I don't mind arguing about it, but it's not something that I want to lose friends over.
And it is interesting, and please, my premillennial and dispensational friends listening, don't take offense at this, but I'm stating something that just happens to be true. And if you know something to the contrary, I would love for you to enlighten me about it. But I have personally never met someone that was either an amillennialist or a postmillennialist who became a dispensationalist or even became a premillennialist. Maybe they're out there. I just have never met one. In fact, I don't even know if I've heard of one, especially when you're talking about dispensationalism, going from a non-dispensational view. I'm talking about a person who's actually regenerate, who, you know, understands the Scriptures. I'm not talking about somebody that may have been raised an amillennialist and then when they got saved, they became dispensationalist. I don't mean that. I mean somebody who is a fairly knowledgeable, at least in a cursory level, about what the Bible teaches about eschatology and so on. I've never met one who went from being amill or postmill to premill and dispensational. And the same thing really goes hand in hand with I have never met that I am aware of. I'll give one exception, Michael Brown, who makes this claim. But I've never met anybody who was, for any reasonable length of time, an evangelical Calvinist who became an evangelical Arminian. I have met and know about many professedly Reformed Christians, Calvinists, who have apostatized, who became Roman Catholic, who became Eastern Orthodox, who became members of a cult, who dropped out of Christianity altogether. But I've never met a biblically literate Reformed Christian who became an evangelical Arminian. I don't know if you have. I just never have.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's pretty hard to study yourself into the Arminian.
Right. And you will find that many who are Arminian, either by using that actual name for themselves, which is a minority, most people who are theologically Arminian do not call themselves that, even though that is a correct label for what they believe. But most of these folks that I know that would fall under the category of being an evangelical Arminian, a great number of their heroes of the faith are Calvinists. They might not even be aware of that, but I know many vehemently anti-Calvinist Baptists, especially from the independent fundamentalist Baptist circles, who hate the doctrines of grace and love Charles Spurgeon,
yep,
and yep, love John Bunyan, and love George Whitfield, and love Jonathan Edwards, and I could go on and on and on, and these are all Reformed Christians. So it's a interesting phenomenon. So before we go to our midway break, why don't you set up some of the background for our topic today? And for those of you who just tuned in, our topic today is food freedom and agriculture from a biblical perspective. First of all, what led you to even study this issue and become so concerned over it?
Well, when I grew up, my father was an avid gardener, and to the point where he was one of the early readers of Rodale.
Did you say that your father was Ava Gardner? I'm only kidding.
Not that I'm aware.
Oh, avid gardener. Oh, okay.
Avid gardener, yeah. And he became one of the early readers of Rodale Press. Anybody who's into organic farming or gardening probably is familiar with Rodale Press. I don't need to go into what that is, but it's a very, very competent group that writes and practices organic gardening and farming. Rodale himself was a leftist, but had many good ideas and a lot of principles that mesh with some of the guys who I'm going to talk about later, who are part of this community and this movement from a Christian perspective. So anyway, he was very much into organic gardening, to the point where when I was probably about 6 or 7 years old or even earlier, he converted our family garage into an organic gardening store, and ran that for a few years. But then actually moved that into a nursery. He was a nursery man for a while, supplied some of the local builders with plants for their projects and so forth, as well as individuals who would come in and buy things. So through that, I was around that all the time. My father was a hard worker, and as a kid, you know, you look up to your dad, and you do things to mimic your father. And when I wanted to mimic my father, I would work because that's what my dad did. He worked. Then as I was a teenager, I worked. There was a dairy farm just up the road from us. I worked on a dairy farm through my teenage years, I worked on a dairy farm, and I liked that. I really, I was just always around farming and gardening. My wife grew up around the same type of thing. Her dad was and still is an avid gardener. He's out there working and cultivating his vegetable garden at the age of 96, and they're still still growing their own food. So we both grew up with gardening and canning and freezing and all that stuff. So that's my background and how I got interested in it.
Can you explain the actual phrase food freedom?
Yeah, food freedom. We've worked ourselves into a really bad situation with the government, with the Department of Agriculture and the various state agencies, where it's very difficult to, especially when you're talking about meat, very difficult to grow food and sell it to your neighbors. It's difficult to go to somebody and just buy a cut of meat because it's all become so regulated and dominated by the large corporations who are in pretty much in bed with the government to grow the government and their business, and that's what we're talking about when we say food freedom. So there are things, some movements afoot to try to free that up, try to get the government out of some of it, and get us to the point where we're able to grow and buy and sell and trade food as free people.
One of the things that I find interesting about certain topics, and this would definitely be one of them, I don't know how much you are in support of or interested in homeopathic medicine and all natural kind of health remedies and things like that, but it seems that when it comes to food, nutrition, health, these subjects attract people on polar opposite ends of the religious and political arena. In other words, you will find people who lean extremely in the direction of the right, born-again Christians, patriotic, and, you know, very active in trying to return this nation to sanity with a biblical worldview and that kind of thing. And then you have on the 180 degree opposite side, people on the left who seem to be very attracted by this arena of, or area or sphere of thought. So it makes excellent opportunities to declare Christ to people that you might not ever have a conversation with otherwise.
Absolutely true. Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that I was correct in that, because that seems to be from the people that I have met, and even going into, you know, I've been recommended to visit certain health food stores and all natural places by very conservative Christians, and then I go in there, and the people that actually own and work there are wackadoodle leftists. You know, so it's kind of interesting. That you have these folks on polar opposite ends, and not that this is necessarily involving the same subject, but it is interesting how Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running for president on the Democratic ticket, he is being interviewed far more often by conservative folks than liberal, or should I say leftist. So it is quite a fascinating thing that you do have these people on opposite ends of the spectrum that have a very similar, if not identical, interest and passion in certain areas. But we're going to pick up where we left off there. We have to go to our midway break. And just to remind you folks, the midway break on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is a little longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program, in fact, twice a day in a pre-recorded format, in morning drive and in the evening, they are required by the FCC to localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida, where they're located. And in order to do that, they use the middle of our show to air their own public service announcements and other local things. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the contact information that is provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers. And we hope that means you will frequently purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches. If you really are grateful to God that there are people out there and organizations and churches and ministries that love this show so much, they share their wealth with us so that we can remain on the air. If you're really grateful about that, thank our advertisers for it. Just simply contact them and say, thank you so much for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That should go a long way to convince our advertisers that their money is not being spent in vain, and that they should continue renewing their advertising contracts with us. So please write down as much of the contact information as you can from as many of our advertisers as you can, and send in your questions to Jim Mogul, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s. And what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, as I've been saying the last few days, all this week actually, solid-ground-books.com is facing a huge and frightening slump in book sales. I don't know if they've determined why yet, because their books are just as excellent as they always have been. So I'm urging you, please, if you value Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, please, today, go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase generously, and mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the very finest in Christian literature, including books that they bring back into print dating back as far as the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And also, they publish books for the first time by current authors in our present day, like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who's going to be speaking at this conference we've been promoting, being hosted by the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. So you're not, as I said, you're not only going to be doing them a favor and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor, you're going to be doing yourself and anybody that you're purchasing books for an enormous favor. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today. Purchase frequently, also in the future, and purchase generously. And also, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, Jim Mogul, I have some important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your local post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, such as a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote. Whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Keep in mind, folks, I say this every day. I never want anybody who is donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, as urgently and as desperately as we need your help financially, I never want anybody giving their own church where you are a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to give us a financial gift. Please don't cut into the money that you have set aside for Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us financially. Never do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a financial gift. The two things that are very crystal clear in the Bible about our finances is that God commands us to provide for our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you really love this show and you want it to survive, you want it to continue featuring guests that you love and topics you love, some of which and whom are never heard anywhere else. You love getting free books in the mail when we interview authors. You love getting a free New American Standard Bible in the mail if you're a first-time questioner. If you really love the show, please help us. We need your help. We've never bounced back from the plummeting of giving to our show ever since the COVID mandates began a stranglehold on the citizens of our nation and the tyrannical mandates that were imposed upon us seems to have coincided with people in our audience being harmed seriously financially, because it was exactly during the mandates that our giving to this program nearly vanished. And we've never bounced back. We've gone from an average of 20 donors every month to about 4 or 5 at the most. Please help us. We need your help. IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Also, please don't forget that First Love Ministries, who runs First Love Radio, the internet radio network that live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, they are having this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, a conference. That's August 26th and 27th at the Reformed Baptist Church of Tama, Iowa. And this conference is featuring Joe Jackowitz, president of First Love Ministries, and Austin Huggins, pastor of First Baptist Church of Baghdad, Florida. The theme is sanctification, how to grow in holiness, and it's absolutely free. Go to firstloveministries.org to register, firstloveministries.org. Also, don't forget about the three-day conference that my guest is involved in. That's the Conference of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society on Friday, September 15th, Saturday, September 16th, and Sunday, September 17th, which includes a debate featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles on the theme, Is Gay Christian a Biblically Acceptable Identity for a Member of Christ's Church? That's 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Saturday the 16th. But as I said, the conference is 3 days, from the 15th through the 17th. If you want to register, please go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, like the Independence Reformed Church, located in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, pastored by my friend Joel Saint, who is the founder and president of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, running this conference we're promoting. If you're not a member of a solid church, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find biblically solid churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. If you are in that predicament, you don't have a biblically faithful church home that you're a member of, and you don't even know where one is located near you, I may be able to help you, as I have done already with many people. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Last but not least, if you're a man in ministry leadership, I invite you excitedly, enthusiastically, to attend the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon. This is going to be held on Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. My speaker this time around will be Jeff Noblett, founder of Anchored in Truth Ministries and senior pastor of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard. And I am thrilled that he has accepted my invitation to speak at this upcoming luncheon, free of charge for men in ministry leadership. And not only is admission free and lunch free, everybody attending gets a heavy sack, maybe even two heavy sacks, of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers across the United States and United Kingdom. And so that alone is well worth traveling to Perry County, Pennsylvania, to attend this luncheon. So send me an email if you are a man in ministry leadership and like to attend. To chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Jim Mogul, and that is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And let's see here. We have Larry in Baldwin, Long Island, New York. And Larry says, I have seen on some conservative outlets that there is much fraudulent rhetoric being spewed about in regard to the superiority of organic food, and some of it may be even more dangerous than food that has been sprayed with pesticides. Have you heard this, and what is your opinion?
I can't imagine properly raised organic food would be harmful in relation to non-organically raised food. I'm not sure what he's specifically referring to.
Well, you know, I remember seeing, I don't know if you know who John Stossel is. John Stossel was, I believe it was, he was a part of the ABC News program, 2020, okay, yeah, perhaps, or Primetime.
Yep, I know you
mean. And he was saying that there was a lot of false advertising in regard to the far superior nature of organic food. And he was saying in some cases there was no difference at all, but after people did, scientists did experiments and tests and so on. And I think that some of the danger that was involved on some occasions was the manure or something, that perhaps it's just that they're not being properly cleaned by people when they eat the organic food. But anything like that ringing a bell? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously any food you raise, whether it's organic or not, if you don't raise it in sanitary conditions, it's going to be a problem. It's a multifaceted thing. I grow a lot of food, and I try to stay as close to organic practices as I can. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I find better ways, and Some people would criticize that. If you're not careful in how you grow food, you're going to run into a problem. However you grow it, but I mean the fact is organically raised vegetables are you're pretty much raising something the way God designed it, and that's when we get into the Christian viewpoints of agriculture. That's one thing we're looking for. How did God design these things to grow, whether it's animals or vegetables? Take a look at the nature of the plant and how he designed it and raise it in a way that's consistent with that. I for example use some herbicide. I'm very careful with it. I don't use it heavily. I don't use it near anything that's being grown. So that's not an organic method, but I need to use it sometimes to control weeds. So it's not always a black and white line between organic and non-organic. Also, there's a lot of food out there that says it's organic, and how do you know it's organic? You go in a grocery store and you see all these beautiful, perfect apples, and they're organic. Well, if you've ever grown apples, you have an understanding how difficult it is to grow organic apples without using any chemical pesticides. It's not impossible, and there are organic apples. But you need to be careful when you see that something called organic. Is it really organic? How do you know? And that gets into something I wanted to talk about anyway, which is it's good to buy food locally where you know the person who grew it, or you at least have contact with the person who grew it. And that's one of the aspects of food freedom, where through government regulation and the corporate marriage between the big companies and the government, small growers are getting squeezed out. It's more everybody knows that there are far fewer farmers every year because the small family farms are getting squeezed out. And when you do that, you lose contact with the people who have grown your food. So I would say you cannot do any better than knowing someone who raises organic animals and grows organic vegetables and buying your food from them. I just don't think there's anything better than that.
Well, thank you, Larry. Let's get into some of the very primary things that you wanted to address that involve the biblical evidence for what you're talking about.
Yeah, just to back up a little bit, before the break, you mentioned how this topic brings together a very broad and varied group of people. I think the guy who best typifies that is Joel Salatin. I don't know if you've heard of Joel Salatin.
Not at this moment. I can't remember.
Okay, if there's a guru of this topic, he's it. If you talk to anyone who's involved in the organic food movement, they've heard of Joel Salatin, and a lot of them read him. He refers, this is what he calls himself. He calls himself a Christian, libertarian, environmentalist, capitalist, lunatic farmer.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah. And if you want to see a really fascinating video, it's long. It's an hour or two long. But if you go on YouTube, Joel Salatin spoke at the Acton Institute, ACTON.
Yeah, I remember I covered, I promoted another event by them. I can't remember specifically what it was right now. But that name is extremely familiar to me, the Acton Institute.
Okay. Well, he did about a 2-hour address there, and he goes into exactly that. That was a really good observation you made, and he goes into exactly that, the huge variety and diversity of viewpoints that enter into this, and he comments that he's been asked to run for political office by every political party that he's ever heard of. So it is a tremendously, in a way, it's a unifying thing between people of various viewpoints. As long as they're unifying on something good, I guess that's a good thing. But he has a, and this gets into what you just mentioned, some of the biblical aspects of it. His farm is in Swoop, Virginia, and he uses very, very innovative organic farming methods. And the farm started when his father bought it in the 50s. It was eroded and farmed out, pretty much useless land. Not much would grow on it. And from the 50s until now, it's turned into one of the most highly productive farms in that area of the state through organic farming practices. He says he's never put a bag of chemical fertilizer on the ground. But you can visit there. He welcomes you to visit. And it's a beautiful, lush farm that's all done with natural organic practices. And it's tremendously productive. And it's just really interesting how he does it. And he does it by... He wrote a book called The Pigness of the Pig. And what he means by that is a pig has certain characteristics that are designed into it by God. And so if you want to raise pigs and use pigs for food, the best way to do it is to observe how God created it and then give it an opportunity to operate within those parameters. And you'll be more successful than if you try to buck the design that God gave to the pig.
That's interesting, because if someone were to say to me, I want to give you some advice on what to eat biblically, pig would not be the first thing that popped into my head.
yeah, that's a good point. One of the things that he'll show you, well, I say he'll show you, you can stop at the farm and look around as much as you want at any time. If you want a tour, you have to schedule it ahead of time with a group. But anyway, one of the things, you can go on YouTube and see videos about this. He observed how animals behave in nature, for instance, buffalo and bison, and he noticed how, he said, well, buffalo don't stand in one little area for 3 months and eat it down to nothing. They move along, and he noticed that after the buffalo move along, other animals come in behind the buffalo, and they do their thing after the buffalo are there. And He looked and he said, well, this is how God designed this to work. So he does it that way on his farm. He has it divided into paddocks, and he'll put the beef cattle in an area and let them there until they eat the grass down to about 6 inches tall, and then they move on. And he has reasons why he regulates the height of the grass by the cattle eating it. And then we probably don't have time to go into a detailed description of it, but he has what he calls chicken tractors. They're large, I think they're 10 by 20 foot chicken cages with about maybe 30 or 40 chickens in each cage, and they're on wheels. So after the cattle go through, he brings these chicken tractors in. They're huge, long rows of them. They move them every day across the field. They move them, I think, 20 feet per day. And these chickens then eat the flies and larvae and so forth that infest the cow manure, and digest that. And they spread the cow manure so that the cow manure fertilizes the land. And then they move on to the next step. So basically, the principles involve using animals the way God created them.
By the way, you mentioned bison. I'm going to give a plug to for a restaurant. They are not paying me. They're not advertisers. I have no idea whether they're owned by Christians or not. But when I was living on Long Island, I used to love to pay a visit on occasion to Tweed's restaurant, T-W-E-E-D-S. And the owner of the restaurant owns a bison farm. And man, oh man, were those bison steaks out of this world. And so if anybody listening is either lives on Long Island or is visiting there, my former hometown of Amityville, Long Island, but I used to love to go out east to Riverhead to Tweed's on occasion, and it will be well worth your trip. Really love their bison. Let's see. We have Paul, and Paul lives in Belmore, Long Island, New York, and Paul asks, what specifically are the ways in which the government is trying to restrict our food freedom?
A lot of it has to do with the regulation of the meat industry. There are four meat companies who provide 80% of the meat that we consume in the United States. And those meat companies work with the Department of Agriculture. It's sort of a symbiotic relationship where they feed each other, much like during the COVID thing. We learned how the pharmaceutical industry works with the government and through the regulation is able to make a lot of money. It's a similar thing where the large meat corporations use the government to squeeze out the little guy. When that happens, you wind up with things like, if you go and eat a fast food hamburger, the meat in that hamburger probably came from over 100 cows.
Wow.
So, you know, you talk about food safety. What would be safer? To eat hamburger from one cow that came from a farmer who you can talk to, or eating hamburger from 100 cows that came from who knows where. I spent my career working in the electronic industry, electronic manufacturing, and one of the things that was always stressed there was that you can't inspect in quality.
You can't expect what kind of quality?
You cannot inspect in quality.
In other words, quality?
Yeah, you cannot inspect quality into a product.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so you can't have a sloppy manufacturing process and then fix your problems by inspecting the product. You have to have a process from the beginning to the end that's efficient and well made, so that the product has inherent quality. Then a little inspection is good, just to make sure everything's okay. But that's kind of how the meat industry is. It's all based on these USDA inspections that are done in the large meat houses. A farmer now who raises cattle finds it difficult to get a USDA inspection done on his meat so that he can sell it, because the inspection is tied up with the larger and larger companies.
So this is something that may even originally have started with a genuine concern for the safety of consumers and citizens, that seems to have spiraled into something perhaps even sinister, where that has nothing to do with the concern. It has to do with control. Am I right?
Yeah, well, that's an aspect of it. It's not entirely corrupt to that degree, but that's a definite aspect of it.
Just like things involving the FDA and things involving experimental pharmaceutical products or all natural products that are being investigated and are the subject of experiments where there are people who believe that there are certain all-natural things that have qualities that may lessen the possibility of cancer in someone's life, and the Food and Drug Administration does not want anybody to know about that or touch that or take that, because they are the kings and queens of what we use to help improve our health or save our lives if we're dying of something. And it's really the government getting involved to so deep a level where they have no business being, where we have lost the sovereignty of over our own lives.
That's right. Yeah, and not even to mention that the federal government has no business whatsoever inspecting a piece of meat. It's not even the job at all of the federal government. But even if you set that aside, the way the system has been captured by the large corporations, it's really not working to make us more healthy. There's a difference between. There's a difference between food safety and the quality of food. Food can be safe. In other words, it won't make you sick, but it can be drained of its nutrients. And the mass farming practices that are being implemented because the government policy is driving toward larger and larger agribusiness, and they're producing massive amounts of food by dumping chemical fertilizer on ground that has a short-term benefit, but in the long term wears out the soil and depletes nutrients. And part of the health problem in our country is likely due to the fact that our food that we typically eat has fewer and fewer nutrients that would naturally be in the food if it was grown in a more organic practice, which is more and more difficult to do because a small farm doing that finds it hard to survive.
We have to go to our final break right now. And folks, if you have any intention to submit a question for my guest Jim Mogul, do it quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Jim Mogul. Do not go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3men.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. 866-596-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, the new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey is gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org, much easier to remember. Disregard the website given in the commercial you just heard. gcbc-nj.org is the correct website. And now we're back with Jim Mogul to conclude our discussion on food freedom and agriculture from a biblical perspective. I want to make sure before I take any listener question that you summarize what you most wanted to say today, that you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this topic.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. The as far as the food freedom issue is concerned, it's a lot of it has to do with getting the government out of where it doesn't belong, and Thomas Massie, Congressman Thomas Massie, has a bill in Congress called the Prime Act, and that would allow farmers to bypass some of, not all, but some of the regulatory overreach of the federal government. And that's a good thing. That he spoke at a conference down at Joel Salatin's Polyface Farm back in May. My son and I were down to that conference. It was well attended, and a lot of good stuff there. So if you're interested in the food freedom aspect of it, that would be a good thing to look into. I highly recommend Joel Salatin as a resource for this. You can find his stuff online. Another man who I have not mentioned is a man named Noah Sanders. Noah spoke at one of our Future of Christendom conferences a few years ago. He has written a book called Born Again Dirt. And if you're interested in a Christian, a very explicitly Christian view of agriculture, I highly recommend that book. His name is Noah Sanders. You can Google him. He also has an online organization that you can join to get a lot of information if you're interested in growing things. And basically, gardening and farming by God's design is the core of all of that. So that's a summary of what I wanted to get across today, Chris.
Great. And I took the liberty of looking up the website of Joel Salatin so I can announce that to our listeners. The website is thelunaticfarmer.com. Thelunaticfarmer.com. And not to be confused with the lunatic talk show host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Oh, hey, one other thing I want to throw in, just food for thought. You can digest mm-hmm. this a little bit. The total farm output annually for the United States is about $175 billion. And the budget for the United States Department of Agriculture is $196 billion, higher than the total food output from our farms.
Wow. Now, perhaps you could conclude by responding to the knee-jerk, instinctive reactions of many people. I mean, it's not only liberals, it's a lot of Christians, that would profess to be conservative Bible believers, where they automatically would say, are you out of your mind? You want the government out of food inspection and all this kind of thing? There are going to be people dying all over the country because they're getting poisoned by people who are greedy business owners, greedy food companies who just don't care about the purity and healthy quality of their food. And, you know, people have looked to Big Brother as their protector for so long. And I mean, it was very made evident during the whole COVID crisis with people in churches masked up even long after the mandates were ended. And so just give us a word about why there are people who are wrongly responding to this, thinking that we need Big Brother, the government, to protect us from ourselves and from to protect us from people who are selling food or meat or produce to us.
Yeah, well, you summarized it pretty well. We need to get away from this mindset that we need the government to protect us every step of the way. We're responsible for our own lives. Every decision we make is a cost-benefit analysis. And so if you're afraid that the meat that you're going to get is not safe, would it not be better to learn where your meat comes from and take responsibility to buy meat that's locally grown?
And in fact, we're out of time, brother. Just wanted to repeat the websites first for Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, midatlanticreformation.org, midatlanticreformation.org, and also the website where you could register for the upcoming conference, the 15th through the 17th of September in Lancaster County, featuring Dr. James R. White, and a debate that he is having on the theme, Is Gay Christian a Biblically Acceptable Identity for a Member of Christ Church? That's futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. I want to wish everybody a very safe, happy, and healthy, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.